Blog Talk Radio.
Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few. I hope, indeed I pray, that we shall not be found unworthy of our victory if after toil and tribulation it is granted to us. For the rest, we have to gain the victory. That is our task.
Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duty, and so bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its commonwealths last for 1,000 years, men will still say, this was their finest hour.
We shall not fail or falter, we shall not weaken or tire, neither the sudden shock of battle nor the long-drawn trials of vigilance and exertion will wear us down. Give us the tools, and we will finish the job. We shall go on to the end. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
You have tried to change my country. You've tried to change my life. No one ever asked me if I thought that this was right. It's time for us to tell you that we will go through hell to defend our country and to help BDL. I'm proud to be an Englishman and I'm going to be free. I won't forget the men who died to get that right to me. And we will stand up against you and defend England every day. There's no doubt we love this land. God save England and the UK. Lied to all the people and tried to take away their rights. But we won't let you sell this land, not without a fight. It's time for us to tell you that you can go to hell. It's time for us to stand and fight and join the EDL. I'm proud to be an Englishman and I'm going to be free. I won't forget the men who died to give that right to me. And we will stand up against you and defend England every day. There's no doubt we love this land. God save England and the UK.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the English Defence League radio show, broadcasting live on blogtalkradio.com. English Defence League radio, the official EDL voice. And tonight, the co-host of the show this evening, with she always does this, is Kel, a.k.a. Red Fox blogger, a.k.a. Martin's girlfriend, and I know there's something behind that, and I know Kel will tell a little bit about it. And of course, that we've also, a part of our panel this evening, we've got our very own Cat Strangler 101, our very own Mr. Tim Burton, who sleeps through the cat flap. Now, I'll tell you what, that diet you are on, Tim, is working wonders for you. Your coat looks so well. You've got a nice shiny nose.
Yeah. It's amazing. It's amazing what a diet of dead mice and blackbirds does for you over the space of a couple of weeks.
It certainly is. And also, I'd noticed part of the panel this evening, I've seen Sunny. I hope you sorted out some of the sound quality issues you had from last night. There was feedback on all that coming through, Sunny. So I'll just bring you on and give you a quick blast, just for a second, Sunny, just to see how you sound.
Holy smokes, you don't say hello to your panelists?
Oh, yeah.
You know, he sounds just like Kel. You know, Jeff, he's a really good mimic. He sounds just like Kel.
I've got to apologise to him, but I'm a little bit of a fluster because my whole screen of my computer, I was very late getting in this evening, and I was panicking a little bit. So I'm a little bit off my guard. I'm not on the ball at this moment in time, so my apologies for any mistakes that I just made.
Anyway, good evening, gentlemen. Hello. Hello, Jeff. Hello, Tommy. And hello, Tim. And welcome, Sonny.
Hello, Kel.
Good evening, Kel, and good evening all the panel this evening. And, Kel, there's a reason behind the Martin's girlfriend. So I'm still a little bit flustered from rushing around trying to get things sorted out. So I was wondering, maybe you'd like to explain that a little bit. It's just caught my eye sort of thing. So, yeah.
Well, if people scroll up in the above the chat room, you're going to see the slides that are in there. And Martin Hive, God bless him, he put all these slides together, and he describes us rather aptly in these. And what I'm going to do is there's a letter to accompany this, and I'm just going to bring it up right now. And I'm going to read this to you folks right now. Now, ladies and gentlemen in the chat room, while I'm reading this, scroll up and look at the slides. Okay, this is from Martin. Dear Kel, I developed some strange visual images of the EDL radio team from information I gather from listening to the show. For instance, I often imagine young Tommy in his bedroom surrounded by hundreds of empty pot noodle pots with a large selection of dark sunglasses displayed in racks on his walls, while under his bed, which he has, of course, an LGBT, rainbow flag duvet, cover, a policeman is quietly hiding, recording his every conversation on his dictaphone. As I listen to Jeff, I see a parrot as big as a dodo and dressed as Long John Silver sitting on his shoulder while Jeff sits at his computer holding court in a stately manner, sagely inhaling his e-cigarette, which is held in a long black cigarette holder. But all the while, every spider in his house is slowly creeping up on him from behind. As for Tim, after hearing some of the recent radio shows, I cannot get the image of him sitting in nothing but a revolting pink bow tie and black socks. I cannot get that image out of my head, which I find rather disturbing. The freshly
is
made
that revolting
tattoo,
or revolving?
The freshly made tattoo of Fayez Miguel's face and the words grievance mongering taquilla artist above it spread right across his manly chest. And then there is the lovely Kel in a white silk ball gown with shoulder-length gloves, diamond earrings, and a silver and diamond tiara on my head, typing away on your computer and sitting at a Louis XIV desk while the mysterious Mr. Kel delivers drinks to you dressed as a footman. Am I in any way close to reality and how I see you in all my mind's eye? Are any of you willing to confirm or deny these assumptions?
Well, I think I think I've got to jump in there. I mean, he had it nearly right, except it's me in the silky white ball gown. And Kel, I'm sure my revolving pink bow tie was here until you paid me a visit the other day. So I think he's rather got those the wrong way around.
I think he meant revolting.
Oh, revolting, not revolving.
No.
Oh, okay.
Revolting, Kel. What can I say? I think that sums us all up, Kel. I'm not going to confirm or deny, especially where the spider's concerned, and I'm looking behind me right now, because you never know. But I'll tell you what, because, as you say, with listening to radio, people does form a certain opinion about people, maybe the way that they addressed when they're sort of presenting the shows and that. And my goodness me, I'd hate to be wandering through Marty's mind when he thinks of with Tim, especially that picture with Tim naked on the piano. And
now.
Visual effects.
Calm down, Tiger. Calm down.
It's what's on the slides, isn't it, Kel?
Oh, yeah, and Martin put those all together for the EDL panel, and there you go. But just to finish out Martin's missive, he, as for himself, at the very moment, he is lying on the beach with his laptop on a beautiful, beautiful golden beach with blue skies. He's sipping a large cocktail while wearing a grass skirt, a bra made out of two halves of a coconut, and he has flowers in his hair.
Good grief. Now, there you go. Now, so we'll talk about visuals there, Kel.
I'm telling you.
Yeah, imagination. Brilliant.
Absolutely.
Yes, I
agree. Martin, if you're listening while you're drinking your pina colada on that sun-drenched beach, I've got to thank you again so much for putting them slides together and putting out the little article the way that you think that the EDL panel it runs through your mind. I don't think I like to be running through your mind, especially to get the visual effects of your spiders and God, that's what else. But no, well done, Martin. I was really, really appreciated. Fantastic. So thank you. Thank you once again. And, we thought we'd the show would, sort of needed a little bit of a kick at the beginning. And my goodness me, that's livened things right up straight away, isn't it, Carl and Tim?
It certainly has. I'm just thinking about the parrot dressed as Long John Silver. I mean, that's quite an intriguing one, with the tricorn hat and the patch over one eye, no doubt. Oh, really? And the LGBT duvet, rainbow-coloured duvet. I mean, Tommy could make a fortune selling those, you know. Yeah, you could have
he probably
like.
Does.
EDL embroidered LGBT duvets. It could be, it could be a big seller on the EDL merchandise. So, yeah, great idea.
Absolutely. I think Tommy might be even selling them now. We don't know. Tommy, I know you're there. Is that right? Are you selling them duvets? I'm not sure if he's there or not now. Are you there, Mr. English?
Tommy's not with us tonight, Jeff, I don't think.
Well, he's sitting there by the looks of it, Sonny.
Yeah, he's in the studio.
He's definitely in the studio.
Tommy, unmute yourself.
Yes, come on, young man. There's lots of listeners out there who want to listen to But anyway, okay, while we wait for Tommy, it's good to have you here once again, Sonny, and I don't know, how does things seem to you guys? Am I still getting the feedback slightly, or is that just my side, on my side?
Well, there's a little bit of feedback, but it's not anywhere near as bad as yesterday. It's all perfectly understandable. So
manageable.
Let's not not fix it if it ain't broken. So it's all right at the minute. Now that's, well, that's one of the things I always say to people. If it ain't broken, don't fix it. That comes from 30 years of computer engineering. So I think it's a good maxim for many occasions.
It certainly is. And, yeah, as I say, it was because last night it was just getting a little bit hard here because last night I had to mute myself because the feedback was really killing my ear, especially when you're phoning in. It's just come straight back at you. But it does sound a lot better this evening. It's really good to have you back on the show this evening as well, Sonny, the team.
I mean, the problem is then, Jeff, I fixed the feedback. What has happened, I've broke my laptop and I'm actually on Skype on my phone, and the only place I can get good internet to keep a good signal, I'm sat halfway down the stairs, hugged up against the wall near the internet connection right here.
My goodness me. But at least it's doing the job. That's the main thing. And you've probably got one leg in the air as well. Make sure you got that signal coming.
I'm telling you, tinfoil on the head, mate. Trying to adapt the signal.
But it's, as I say, it's good to have you on the show again this evening. Normally on a Friday evening, just to let our listeners know that sometimes we have Mr. Wahibi calling. He's based in Spongistan. I'm not sure, off of the Russian Sea or somewhere around there, isn't he, Tim? I can't think of where.
Spongistan. I think it's just to the east of Kyrgyzstan. I think. I couldn't be 100% right because the instructions on the barge captain's logbook weren't all that clear.
Yeah, I know it's a little bit confusing because I know that there's been quite a few tourists who want to go and visit Spongistan. They want to see the yak, don't they? Yak that is very prominently played.
Oh, yes, apparently it's to die for, the yak sled race. If you, it's a famous Spongistan phrase, I've been led to believe. Like they used to say, see Naples and die, when they were talking about Italian tourism.
Yes.
Well, it's like that, only in Spongistan it's see yak sledding and get a nasty headache. But it's fairly close to the Italian
theme, isn't it?
Yeah, same sort of thing. Yeah, that's right.
So we never know. As I say, on a Friday evening, ladies and gentlemen, we never know if Mr. Wahibi might be calling in and giving us a rundown of what's been going on in Spongistan, because that's always interesting, isn't it, to everyone we're having calling in.
Well, it is. I mean, I was looking to see if anything was going to be mentioned in Prime Minister's Question Time in the Commons about Spongistan this week, but I was sadly disappointed. They were busy talking about completely unimportant things like climate change and the economy. But there you go. Well, one lives in hope.
Exactly.
And Wahabi will be calling in shortly.
Oh, fantastic.
Excellent. Excellent news.
Fantastic. I just hope that person who's holding a gun to his head is in the distance away from him so he can do a full report tonight. Don't you, Carl?
Oh, absolutely. It's going to be good.
So I was just going to say, I don't know, just before we get into the serious news tonight, I just wish to bring the news to our listeners about something that the Dubai Mufti, the Grand Mufti of Dubai, has had a pronouncement to confirm the fatwa against Muslims travelling to Mars. Apparently, the fatwa which was issued last week, the people who run Mars 1, the expedition, they really, really, really wanted to take some Muslims with them to Mars, but the Dubai Grand Mufti says, no, not a chance, mate. And he's issued a fatwa confirming that Muslims are definitely not allowed to go on that mission, which is a shame, really, because, you know, Mars isn't going to be the same without a bunch of whinging, grievance-mongering Takiya artists telling everybody what to do. But there has been one exception made, and that exception is a special place on the Mars One trip for Fiaz Maghal, because apparently it's going to be the only place in the universe where he's not going to get called a mendacious, grievance-mongering Takiya artist. So he's had one place reserved on the Mars One expedition.
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, as you say, the words are out all over the place and, you know, across the universe. So, it's quite a possibility that you know, there's people on Mars that they've probably heard about this person. So,
yeah. You can just imagine it, can't you? You know, the first manned voyage lands on the surface of Mars, you know, and somebody steps out onto the Martian surface and this little green alien comes up with a placard saying, "Welcome, mendacious, grievance-mongering Takiya artists from Earth. Let me take you to our leader."
He'd feel right at home then, wouldn't he, Tim?
Yeah, he'd feel right at home, yeah.
Yeah, but we'll never forget the first time aliens came to this country, they held placards saying Sharia for UK.
Oh, well, yes, of course.
How true.
So what's on the agenda for tonight then, lads?
And laugh.
Stunned silence. God dearie me. What are you like? Am I going to have to...
Everybody looking at each other. Stunned silence.
Yes.
Well, I don't know. I'm
same
sure
thing
that
we do
we've
every
got...
night, think you try to take over the world.
Yeah, that's right. Try to take over the world. Yes, all right.
But no, as I say, I'm sure we've got some news articles that's called to
here's one for our younger listeners. What about that Katy Perry, eh? That Katy Perry and her video. What do you think about that? I'm sure there'll be some comments coming into the chat room about that. For the listeners that don't know, Katy Perry produced a music video in the last few days called Dark Horse, and part of this video incorporated a graphic representation of a man being burnt or turned into sand or something while he was wearing an Allah pendant. And this, of course, got Muslims around the world completely wound up, never mind all the jihadi attacks and Islamic murders that have happened around the world this week. You would think that they would have something to protest about with all these Islamic murderers running around, people to think badly of Islam. Instead, they've managed to work themselves up into a frenzy about Katy Perry's video. And there was a petition with about at least 30-odd thousand Muslims signed a petition saying she should take the video down and apologise. And what do you know? She's capitulated. Isn't that terrible,
absolutely,
ladies and gentlemen? That's the last time I buy a Katy Perry CD, that's what I say. What about you lot? Kel, have you got an opinion on this? Anybody?
I just like Katy Perry in general. I think her music's gone for me now. So basically anything she does is just, I don't care anymore. I mean, if it was Miley Cyrus or Kesha, then basically no one would care.
Oh, okay. Anybody else? Jeff? I know you're a big Katy
Perry
fan.
Well, I just think that the word capitulation and the first running, as Sarah Bela says in the chat room, she's probably terrible, the first real running with Muslims. So I don't know. So you see, as we know, there's always the thing of fear and intimidation of what Islam has done for over 1400 years is to terrify people, to instill fear and terror if they say anything that slightly goes against anything that they
what they don't want you to say, then they get all over your case and threaten this and threaten that. And it does seem that it does seem to work in some cases. People should be more of a, you know, sort of more stand upable to against these people. Because if you stand up against them and say, well, that's enough, you never do it, you know, after a while, they will get the message. It's just, there's a lot of people who'd rather capitulate. And I think you would agree with that, Tim, wouldn't you? That is a sad problem that we have, that some people just haven't got the backbone and the spine.
Well,
and it's a very
I do think it's sad. And, I mean, I know I'm making a big thing about this and saying, oh, I'm never going to buy another Katy Perry video or CD ever again. Well, I suppose, truth be told, I probably wouldn't really buy one in the first place. But that aside, I suppose there are a lot of lot of people out there who, even if they feel strongly, may be pressured to capitulate through the loss of various material things that they might have. I mean, they might have a job or a career, or certainly in the case of Katy Perry, I should think her career prospects would be severely damaged if she tried to take a stand against Islamic supremacism and Muslim grievance mongering. Yeah, unfair though it might seem. I mean, I suppose having made that video and put it out there, she's going to be damned if she did and damned if she didn't. So I suppose,
very good point.
Realistically, I suppose I have got some sympathy for her. I just think it's a shame that people do capitulate so easily. And, you know, maybe, as somebody put in the chat room, what probably happened was when they were putting the video together, whoever was producing the video just didn't even realise the significance of this pendant. Probably never even registered on their radar until the protests started coming in. That wouldn't surprise me in the slightest. But, very sad, all the same.
Yeah, and as I say, it's something that we should talk about, because it's quite obvious that she's realised the implications of speaking out and what can happen. As you say, it can be a career killer, can't it, Tim, and these sort of things. So in some cases I can see, yes, reason by it, but the others are, being me who I am, I think you never give in to these people, you know, because then they put more pressure on. And they think they've got their own way one way, they'll put more pressure on other people in other ways. And that's right, though. It's the way they do things, isn't it, Tim?
Well, it is. And I see that Kel's on the case. She's put a link from the Toronto Sun into the chat room about Katy Perry's Dark Horse video. So thank you for that, Kel. That's great.
Yeah, great stuff. Great stuff there, Kel. Thank you so much. But as I say, it's a great one of the talking points of the show this evening. Hopefully, as I say, maybe near at the top of the hour, we might even get someone that we always look forward to calling in. And, of course, that's Mr. Wahibi, who's we all look forward to him calling in on a Friday evening now. It's become quite a... quite a pastime with us all, isn't it?
Oh yeah, yeah.
There's always
some
great
questions. What he's going to come up with, you know. So yeah, looking forward to that.
Yes, exactly. I was going to say, my apologies, Sonny, but I had to put you on mute a little bit. What we were just been discussing there about Katy Perry, your thoughts of what she's done, basically backing off and, you know, sort of being scared to speak out, like, you know.
What you guys have to say, it disgusts me, really, because... I mean, she's making music. It's entertainment for people of several religions, colours, creeds, different things. And once again, only Muslims are offended. I mean, this video is set in Egyptian times, I do believe. And yes, the Egyptians at the time were Muslims. Just because he's wearing another necklace, that they're highly offended. But if that was a Christian, based on a Christian film with a Christian cross and it was disintegrated, you wouldn't hear a part of it.
No.
I just, to be honest, I think it's public attention and they just want to prove their point that they have the power and they can do anything they want to, and it sickens me.
Yeah, and that's what I thought I'd let you come in on this discussion that we was having there, and I had a feeling that you might say that is a point. No one else has sort of took attention to the video, and everybody was quite appreciated for what she's done. Yeah. But as you say,
well,
it's only the Muslims that are offended.
Also, Jeff, I've just got I know we're on about subjects before our mate from Spongy Stands comes on. Can I just say a couple of things?
Yes, sure. Go ahead.
One thing I'd like to say, I've got a shout-out, actually, I'd like to do to a couple of guys that listen to us on Thursday, Fridays and Sundays without failure. That is Teresa, Daryl and Hayden with the Lincolnshire Division. Hayden is actually a lad that turns up with Daryl and Teresa to pretty much every demo, and he suffers with cerebral palsy. And he turns up to every demo in his wheelchair. Because as we also know, a big serious point is Islam is not just against most of everyone else, but they also get disability along with homosexuality. So a big shout out to Hayden, like, very, very good lad and much respected. I know Tommy knows him very well, so...
Aye. That's met him at Bradford last year.
Yeah, well, a big shout out to you, Hayden, and of course the Lincolnshire Division. And as you said, Sonny, Islam isn't just got it down on homosexuality, but against people with disabilities as well. So that's something that we have to underline as well. But Hayden, if you're listening, thank you for tuning in. I know you tune in regularly on a Thursday, Friday, and a Sunday, and it's really nice to hear that we got people listening in week in, week out to the show, and I hope you're enjoying the show this evening. And tonight it's going to be probably a little bit light-hearted. On Fridays we do try to do something, something's a little bit different as we're approaching the weekend, and tonight probably will be no different than the Fridays what we normally have. But once again, Hayden, if you're listening in this evening, thank you so much, and you know, it's a great honour and a privilege to know that people like yourself are listening to the show this evening.
Another subject I find quite interesting. I wonder who would win a race out of the Yak and the Marv aliens. That could be a potential rivalry right there, don't you think?
Oh, yes, I can't wait for the Grand National.
Yeah, Grand National with yaks. How about that, Tim? That might be something a little bit different as well, wouldn't it?
Well, it might. Yeah, I mean, I'm a little bit wary of putting money on yaks ever since the Koreans ate their yak as in the last event, and I lost yes. I lost 200 quid on that. I'm a little bit wary of putting any more money on sporting events involving yaks. You know, because people can be a little bit fickle. You know, the yaks halfway around the course and they're feeling a bit peckish, and they eat the bloody yak. I mean, that's not on, is it? You know.
I don't know.
It's not on, is it?
Money like that. But as I say, we've come to the top of the hour. At top of the hour, Tim and Sonny, I hope you don't mind, Sonny. We're just getting a little bit of feedback. I'll just put you on just hold just for a little bit. Because one of our great people, and we normally have calling in, I think this could be him now. So let me bring him on. So good evening. Well, good evening. I'm sure this is Mr. Wahibi, all the way from Spongistan, calling in on the show this evening. And welcome to the show this evening.
Hello, this is Wahibi. Just one minute, please. Yes, We are having party. I must tell the guests to leave. So just give me 1 second, and I will tell them to be quiet. Just a second. I closed door. Can you hear me now?
Yes. I was going to see. Well, I hear a bit. I'm very surprised that I can hear some sort of. I don't know if you call it music. I just thought it was rather like a racket going on in the background. But I thought with Muslims that the problem is that the music is haram, and I've been a little bit surprised that I could hear what you might call music in the distance, and you're always having a party. And I thought it's something.
Well, hold on. I opened door. They're still singing. Hold on. I'll stay on your phone. I just opened door. No, we sing. We sing song. No problem here in Spongistan. So anyway, I am closed door, and I am Ambassador Press Secretary from Spongistan.
Don't lie to us. You're entertaining the batch of Batsy boys, aren't you, Wahhabi?
Yes, yes. That happened so much, tonight, your Friday, ha-ha-hee-hee show. listen to, take your sip of Johnny is Walking Liquor, and the report from Spongistan Security Agency last night says you take life too serious. You make little things, big things. So you have fun tonight. So, and I will not make fun of your bad English. So, I will give you.
That's very courteous of you, not making fun of our bad English there.
Yes, yes,
Mr. Wahhabi. It's nice to know that you're gracious in that.
Have such a very fine guest here, and we should at least get his name right. It's not Wahhabi, it's Wahhabi.
Yes,
Wahhabi.
Yes. So we have much to talk about. I not take much time from EDL gentlemen, ladies, tonight. Last week we talked about Ukraine situation and, serious everything. But you heard in Crimea, there is a problem, right? So in Spongistan, we have saying that you scratch nose of Crimean, you find tartar underneath. That's what we say. So as a result, we have jihad intervention in Spongistan to go to Crimea.
You're having jihad intervention to go to Crimea. Is that what you just said there? That was what you just said, wasn't it?
Yes. And as you know, Spongistan is, I tell before, south of Crimea. Intervention will consist of 6 cohorts of Yak Mountain troops, and they will leave tomorrow on the barges. Some did leave yesterday. The mission is to guard the 7-Eleven Tesco franchise stores in Crimea from
they've become militarized, have they? What would you say?
Well, there's looting and, what we are just like humanitarian, guard the stores because most of the Tesco and 7-Eleven franchises in Crimea are owned by Tatars,
I see. Go ahead. This is very interesting. Go ahead.
Yes, the flag of the Crimea is... the golden dogma of Yakhead. So it is, if you look at Crimea flag, it is yak eating on the grass. It is so
it's
very...
It's a yak eating on the grass.
Yes.
Well,
yes,
I didn't know that. Thank you for that insight. Tim, did you know that?
I'm just looking at my wall chart where I have all the flags of the world here. And, oh, Yes, he's absolutely right. The Crimean flag does, in fact, have a yak eating grass superimposed right across the top of it. So, yes, I'm happy to confirm that, Wahabi. And I was just thinking that that music sounded very familiar that you were playing right at the start, and it reminded me of an ancient Crimean tune that my grandmother used to play on the bagpipes when she used to sit around with me when I was younger, and it was all about a young Crimean lady who had fallen in love with a yak and was about to leave her husband, but then he finds out and he shoots the yak, and she lives the rest of her life in mourning. It's a very, very moving song, and I was just wondering, you know, if you might be able to play that next time you come on, especially with the bagpipe accompaniment, because it is just such a moving ethnic song. I think our listeners would love it.
Yes, and maybe if you have accompaniment from a sitar and valilaika, it would be even better. So good for you. Ha ha, hee Friday, make fun of Wahabi, that's good for you. So, but well, after we liberate the people in the Crimea, we will teach the women how to dress properly. Properly, yes.
How should they dress properly then, Wahibi? How would you expect them to be properly dressed?
Maybe a little more conservative dress, yes. You know, less skin.
What, you mean
less
like
skin,
Margaret
yes.
Thatcher, that sort of a look?
Yeah, blue rinse hairstyle, that sort of thing, yeah. Bit more conservative.
Margaret Thatcher dressed okay, but she needed to cover her head.
Yeah, she was a bit hot stuff. She was a bit hot stuff, wasn't she, that Margaret Thatcher? Hey? I know Jeff used to think so.
Yes. Yes. We do have, I do have a few other announcements, if you have time.
Yes, please, go ahead.
Yes.
Yeah, we're listening to very closely tonight. We knew that...
Yes, there is other Tatar region in... not just Crimea, eastern region of Tartistan, Kazan city, large Russian city. There is population there that will have jihad if there is any problem in Crimea. They will support Spongistan and Crimea effort. So that is next big problem, and you just pay attention to that. With intervention, I have news for people in the Tatars in Crimea, and may I give them three messages, like maybe think about like World War II, you know, invasion, World War II. There's, you know, cryptic message to send on your show. Can I use your show to send these messages?
Well, I don't see there's any real problems. Do you, Tim or Kel?
I think that should be fine. I mean, when you say encrypted messages, I mean, do you need us to do the encrypting, or
I just talk three sentences. I talk and then I finish and wish everyone a goodbye. First message is Hassan has long mustache. Repeat. Hassan has a long mustache. Second message is the package Pahila no tetret on the floor. Repeat, the package Pahila trep on the floor. Last one is my back is yellow. My back is yellow. And that's it for the messages tonight. And
okay,
that is
from
Spongistan.
The last message, I think we would all confirm that, yes, most of the jihadists' backs are yellow, so I'd like to thank you for the.
They've got yellow backs and yellow bellies.
Wahibi, I've got to thank you. Anything else you would like to mention while you're here tonight? As I say, it's always a great honour to have you on the show. What's the slogan again, Wahibi? What is it, the slogan of Spongistan? Would you like to
refresh? Well, I have two things to say tonight. First thing I say tonight is to the Tatars in Crimea, I want to say Tatar Slavia Krim, that a glory to the Tatars in the Crimea. Then I say, Spongistan, we sponge from you and you stand for it, and we love you. Good night, EDL.
Well, Mr. Wahibi, once again, I'd like to thank you for your time and coming on to the show this evening. Absolutely. What can I say, Tim? It does really brighten up the show when we have Mr. White. Now, let's get it right. Wahibi, isn't it? Mr. Wahibi.
Yeah, Wahibi, Jeff. Wahibi.
Wahibi.
Yes. That's what I was laughing at halfway through. Oh dear, it was so. Do you know, I was just thinking back to that song he was playing, you know, and it brought it all back to me. My grandmother playing her bagpipes and singing the song about the love story with the yak and the young lady from the Crimea. Ah, it's brought it all back to me. I'll have to sit down. Me, I've gone all misty-eyed. You'll have to excuse me for a minute.
Well, it will do.
Yes, so thank you very much, Mr. Wahibi. Mr. Wahibi for joining us from Spongistan. Spongistan, they sponge off us, and we stand for it. We put up with it. We put up with it. No, we don't. We stand for it. Yeah, that's right. Yay, thanks, Wahibi. So, what's next? And has anybody got any idea about?
Well, some of your insight of what we've been talking about. So I could pass it to Kel. Kel, your thoughts?
Yeah, it's too bad Wahibi left before the mic came my way because I had a few things to say to him about how women should be dressing. But that's okay. When you're ready, Jeff, we've not done this for quite a long time. We usually a long time ago, Jeff and myself, when we were co-hosts together, we used to have the stupid clip of the week, and then we would play what you just said afterwards. And Jeff, I have a stupid clip of the week. We have not done this for a long time. Whenever you want me to play it, just let me know.
Well, that sounds absolutely great, Kel, because we used to do that. You said, Kel, we used to do that, and once a week we'd pick a what was it? We didn't call it the stupid clip. We called it the dimmy. That was it, Kel, the dimmy clip of the week, yes?
That's right.
That's right. That's what we used to. That's what we used to call it. And I think Kel's got something that she's got lined up for this evening. Also, I'd just like to say a quick hello to Naomi, who's sitting in the chat room this evening, who will be on our show this Sunday. So, Naomi, it's a great honour, privilege to have you here listening to the show this evening, and we can't wait to have you on the show as our guest this Sunday. So there you go. And I thought you've a bit brave. Hi, Naomi. And so, of course, to everybody else that's sitting in the chat room this evening. And Kel, you've got a Dimmy clip for the listeners, and of course for ourselves. And we haven't done this for a little while. So have you got it ready to go, then, Kel? Have you got it ready to go? We can roll with it whenever you're ready.
Look, I get it. These days I look in the mirror and I have to admit I'm not the strapping young Muslim socialist that I used to be. Time passes, get a little gray, and yet, even after all this time, I still make rookie mistakes.
Well,
what you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
I know, I should always laugh at that. Kel, once again, thank you. But I don't know about most of our listeners, but every time I hear that person, I want to throw up. I don't know if you feel the same, Tim and Tommy and anybody who sits there, but every time I hear his voice, I want to throw up. It grates on your nerves, doesn't it, his voice? So, your views, Tim, do you get that nauseous, Islamic nauseism feeling when you listen to that voice, Tim?
Do I? Well, yeah. I mean, it's extremely annoying. He's got a certain confident-sounding way about him, which I suppose must appeal to some people. But I just find it extremely annoying when I realise how destructive virtually every decision that he makes has been for quite some time now. So yeah, when I hear him, I just think, oh no, what's he going to say next? Because whatever it is, it isn't going to be good news for the rest of us. So yes, I think I can safely say I concur with that statement, Jeff. What about you, Kel?
Oh, he's just an idiot. I don't have a whole lot to say about him at this point. But we have somebody that just wandered into the chat room, and this gentleman had a birthday this week, Jeff and Tim, and that is our dear Frank. He turned 19 on February 25th this week.
Hey!
Yaggity, yaggity, yaggity.
Wrong one. Green jumped on me. Here we are. Hey, Frank, happy birthday.
Happy birthday to... happy birthday to... happy birthday, happy birthday. Happy birthday to...
So there you go, Frank. Happy birthday, brother. As I say, and was that a yak or was it a goat that does that that noise, Kel?
My pet goat helped me put that together. I'll let you know.
Because don't yaks sound a little bit like that as well, guys? Has anybody got any information?
I think they can be made to sound like that, but you have to get a couple of bricks and smash their testicles together between the bricks, and then they do make a noise which is very similar to that, so I've heard.
I think I could make a worse noise if someone did that to me.
Oh, is that a challenge, Tommy? The EDL challenge.
The EDL challenge.
Oh dear. I'm cringing now.
I would be.
Very painful. Sammy, you listened to Mr. Wahibi. Let's get it right.
No, you've got it wrong again, Jeff. It's Wahibi.
Oh, I always get it. Wahibi. Wahibi.
You say Wahibi, we say Wahibi.
I just say, what the hell?
Well, yes. Yes, that's probably a very healthy attitude to take.
Well, also exactly. Different parts of the country, so we have different ways of saying it.
How true. Sonny, was this the first time you've listened to that gentleman who was on here before?
No, I think I've heard him like once before. It's pretty entertaining.
I just wanted to hear what you thought of him. He's a great to have on the show on a Friday evening. Some of the things he says is really enlightening. But in Islamic world, I suppose it would be classed as enlightening, wouldn't it?
Quite so.
It's funny. I've just had a text in through Skype. Of a couple of jokes, considering we have a pretty jokey Friday, I think it'd be a good time to read a couple of jokes out if you want to hear them.
Well,
yeah,
this is the Comedy Central, the English Defence League Comedy Central, which is normally on a Friday evening anyway. So a couple of jokes I don't think will go amiss tonight there, Sonny. So, yeah, go ahead, bro.
Okay, then, mate. Well, one we've got is one you never guess. What is the most popular kids show in the Middle East?
No, what is it?
Dora the Exploder.
Yeah.
Very good.
And then we've got another one. A couple more. What do you call a Muslim stripper?
Yeah, what do you call a Muslim stripper, Sonny?
You seen me must.
Oh. You know what? I've heard that one before, but I could never remember the answer to that one.
A couple more. What do you call a Muslim with pink hair? And
with what?
That is Gandhi's loss with pink hair, and that is Gandhi's loss.
Here, I've got one. What do you call a Muslim who owns a camel and a donkey?
God, I don't know.
Bisexual.
Oh dear.
What do we call a Muslim in a phone shop?
No, what do we call a Muslim in a phone shop?
Tariff.
Yeah, how do you play Taliban bingo?
No, how do you play Taliban bingo?
B-52, F-16, B-1.
Oh, my goodness me. Ladies and gentlemen, I just hope you're enjoying some of the jokes this evening. And if there are people who are offended by what we've been saying, you know, we're having
we'll get around to you later, yeah.
We'll get around to you later. You haven't been offended yet.
Well, here's a joke that our American listeners might like. A Muslim, a socialist, and a communist walk into a bar. The bartender says, "Hello, Mr. President."
Yeah. I've heard that one.
Very
yes.
Good. I like it.
You wake up at work, you go outside to see a Muslim rooting through your bin. When you ask what his name is, what is it?
Go what?
Rummaging.
Oh, my goodness, mate. I'm sorry.
Well,
there's
all right.
Been some great jokes. Not just you, but there's
can I,
been...
Can I finish off with
go
one?
Go on.
Police intercepted two Muslims the other day attempting to crash a speedboat through the side of Edgbaston Reservoir, which is in Birmingham. They were very concerned because they thought it might be the start of Ramadan.
That's a brilliant...
Here we go. If there's one for you, what should Iraq get for its air defence system?
Go on, what's that, mate?
A refund.
So there you go. But what I was going to say, guys, I'm going to have to take a. I'm going to have a break. We're going to have a break. Okay, I was wondering, have we got a clip tonight or a tune that we could play for this this part of the show, please?
Yep, here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll see everybody back here in 4 minutes.
tables in a restaurant in a West End town. Call the police, there's a madman around, running down underground to a dive bar in a West End town.
In a West End town, the dead end world, the East End boys and West End girls. In a West End town, the dead end world, the East End boys and West End girls.
So yes, we are back back on the show after a little break. Oh my goodness, sorry, I've got a little bit of feedback there just for a second. Anyway, we're back now. Sonny, I hope you don't mind, I just had to put you on hold again. There was just a little bit of feedback, and I'll bring you back in just one second. Kel, I was going to say, Kel, I think Kel's got a joke that she wants to tell everybody as well. So.
Well, I think we've kind of moved on. The threads moved
no,
on
we
a
haven't.
Little bit there, Jeff.
We're still in the joke phase.
I was waving my hand frantically, but if you want to hear it, here it is. I found the Islamic Samaritans today. When I said I was feeling suicidal, they got all excited and asked if I knew how to fly a plane. Ta-da! There you go.
Oh, I love it. Thank you, Kel. That was well worth the wait. So, anyway, as I say, Sunday, we've got a guest on, as I say, Naomi, who's absolutely a great talker and a great speaker. And I'm really looking forward to having Naomi on this Sunday. Some of the things I know she wants to talk about is so important. Some of the things we talk about on this show every week, some of the things she really wants to highlight is what we'll be discussing. I won't say too much because I don't want to take anything away from Naomi, but I'm sure everybody tuning this Sunday, it's going to be an absolutely awesome show. So there you go. So I know I'm getting quite excited about having Naomi on. It's always great to have guests on the show, isn't it, guys?
Yes, indeed. In fact, if Naomi has the opportunity to do so, did you want to perhaps invite her on to say hello to us this evening, rather than waiting for next week?
Well, yes, Naomi. Let's check. She's still in the. I've just come back now. She was here. I'm just looking.
Yeah, she's in. Still in the chat room. Still in the chat room.
Yeah, Naomi, if you want to call in, please do. You know, cause it'd be great to take your call. I actually, Tim, I can't see her on my list at this moment. So it's a bit slow on me this evening, and my apologies. But yes, but Naomi, if you want to call in, please do. As I say, so because people like to hear you. oh yeah, okay. So yeah, if you want to, please call us. Now the Sunday will be this Sunday. Agador's asking in the chat what Sunday. It'll be this Sunday, Agador. So we're really looking forward to it. But if you have and you want to, please call in tonight. it'd be great. So anyway, let's come back into the studio. Tommy's back. You're back now, aren't you, Tommy?
Yeah, it looks like it. I have a Skype call from my manager then, so I'm like, Greg, I'm on the radio show. And he goes, it'll be quick.
it seems that I can't hear any feedback now, Sonny. It seems like that little problem that we had seems to have died down a little bit now. And you saying a couple of jokes there, and it was coming for a while. I wasn't getting so much feedback as what I was getting earlier. So it's good to see that. It's so annoying when you get that, isn't it, guys? You know, when you get feedback and that coming back at you. But So anything particularly that we wanted to talk about for this evening, Tim or Kel, is there any issues or any topics that we wanted to speak about, what our listeners I'd like to get their take into a little bit?
Well, I brought up a couple of subjects earlier on, but I don't want to hog the mic, so perhaps we could throw that open to Kel or Tommy for some subjects that might be of interest to our listeners.
Well, something interesting happened at work this week. That might tickle your fancy. The union, which is made up of three members of the Socialist Workers' Party, three members of the union, held a small protest outside the office of the demanding equal workers' rights, whatever that is. And it was becoming a bit of an embarrassment, so I held my head out the window and just went, get back inside, you smelly, greasy nutters. You're embarrassing me. And basically, what these lefties is saying, they're saying that call centre agents are treated equally as someone who would work in another establishment, which I just don't get. And people who work in factories, welding, or in the army. I don't get it. What is equal workers' rights? I just don't get it. Maybe you can put that out there. Something that these lefties are fighting for now. Once again, there's a stunned silence.
There is, isn't there, Tommy? It's definitely a stunned silence. You're not wrong there. And in fact, as far as silences go, it's one of the most stunned silences I've heard on Blog Talk Radio ETL for quite some time.
Well, come on, guys. What is equal workers' rights? I just don't understand it. I tried Googling it. Didn't come up with anything.
No, it seems equal workers' rights. It doesn't hold any weight to what it used to be. You know, back to when the unions was quite a powerful thing in this country, before Margaret Thatcher totally destroyed the union system, people seem to quite understand what workers' equal rights meant. But these days, what does it really mean these days, Tim? I don't, you know, is it's lost all of its validity, isn't it, to what it used to hold way back when the unions was quite a powerful thing in this country?
Well, it certainly has changed in meaning. I'm just trying to see exactly what aspect of it Tommy's particularly concerned about, because I mean there's lots of ways you could interpret it, but what was particularly exercising you, Tommy?
Probably the fact how it is at where I work in this call centre for Talk. They seem to think that we work in these appalling conditions compared to what anybody else would work at, which I just don't get, because, you know, we've got the nice canteen, but he even held up a banner saying stop the spread of Islamophobia in our workplace.
All right.
Because where I work is particularly Islamophobic, since a person called Tommy Ings applied for a job there not so long ago, and obviously people seem to be a bit EDL aware. But when they formed this union about a few months ago now, members of the whole branch of the SWP obviously were part of that union and run the union. But what I just don't get is the fact how they still seem to think they still fight for equal rights, but the socialists don't these days. I mean, when was the last time you saw the socialists really campaigning for equal rights in the workplace? They don't do it anymore. The only point where you see the SWP now is, oh, the EDL are a racist organisation, we'll smash the EDL and all the UKIP and things like that. I mean, basically, when you look at unions and the socialists, they're dead. I want to put it out there as well, guys, something that you might want to think about. When the UAF, who are just basically the SS for the SWP, there are Muslims in the UAF, but there aren't no Muslims in the Socialist Party.
That's a good point, Tommy. You know, you could think of it like that. And that is the case, is it, that there isn't no Muslims in the Socialist Party?
Well,
yeah?
Well, basically, when you look at the Quran, Islam does not believe in politics. They don't believe in democracy. They don't believe in political parties.
Well, they don't believe in any man-made laws. That's the case, isn't it? They sum it up. They don't believe in anything that's man-made. They only believe in, what Allah's had to say and what's in the Quran.
Exactly. And socialism is a man-made belief from Karl Marx back in the 19th century. But so basically, when you got these mugs like Wayman Bennett and Martin Smith who say, no, we want Muslims to be treated equally, it's like they'll say it in the UAF, but they won't say it in the SWP, because not a single one in there.
Yeah, it's a good point. Well, I just lost the chat room there. My apologies, guys. So it's just reconnecting. As I say, that's a good valid point. As you say, you don't see no Muslims in the Socialist Party, as you say, and it's all to do with, because it's man-made laws, this, that and the other, that they don't wish to abide by anything like that. And I'm having a little bit of problem at this moment in time. I've lost the chat room.
I'm just having a little bit of a problem getting my head around this, because surely we do see a lot of Muslims in politics. I mean, maybe when you're saying not in the Socialist Party, I mean, we see them all over the place when it comes to political positions in the Labour Party, and we see that they support Labour politicians to a great extent, to the extent that some Labour politicians won't make a move for fear of upsetting their Muslim voters. And I'm just wondering how that squares with what you're saying about no Muslims being in those particular areas.
Well, it's like you're going to get Muslims in political organisations, like you've got them in Labour, you've got them in Respect, you've got them in Conservative, you've got them in Lib Dem, but it seems that the hard left wing, like the Socialist Party, Left Unity, one in there. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, the
main. Right, so you're talking about specifically about the hard left.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because because it's a hard left that seems to campaign against Islamophobia, whereas the mainstream organisations don't.
All right. I have to say I'm in a slight disadvantage here because I'm not familiar with the history and the politics of the far left in particular. But you know, I'll accept what you say. It just seems a little odd to me that they would be less represented in those groups, because you would have thought that they would have had more to gain if through the machinations of the hard left trying to get out more moderate people in politics, because it seemed to me that the left and the Muslims in particular seem to benefit from left-oriented politics, and I would have thought the further left, the better. But what you're saying is it gets to a point where that's not true.
I think the reason is because basically under the Tsar, like the Romanovs, there was a lot of Muslims in Western Russia, in Petrograd, in Moscow, and then when obviously Lenin and Stalin took power, they basically said, well, there's going to be no Muslims in this part of Russia, so they deported them all to right into Siberia, into like Crimea, right into southeastern Russia. And basically after the fall of communism, because all these Muslims started to breed in these areas, they started to form their own countries. Maybe that's why you don't see these Muslims in the hard left organisations. In the hard left history, it's been particularly, quote, Islamophobic.
And yet they're campaigning against Islamophobia now.
Exactly. I mean, look when the Soviet Union invaded Afghanistan in the 80s, they de-Islamized Afghanistan to an extent where women couldn't cover up, women could go to school, you have mixed gender schools happening, what the Russians were building, which particularly upset these Islamists because it's not very Islamic. I mean, if you type it onto YouTube, the Soviet-Afghan War, you'll see all the, when they interview these young girls saying that it was all sitting with boys learning mathematics, learning English, mainly doing about the Soviet Union. But yeah, basically socialism is very de-Islamifying because they did it in Iran, they did it in Afghanistan, they did it in Georgia. These are all of these Islamic countries during the history of the Soviet Union. Islam wasn't Islam in these in the Soviet Union.
You raised some good valid points there, Tom. That is a point, isn't it, Tim? Very good point.
I presume this is why we're starting to see what we are seeing or have been seeing in the past decade or two in places like Chechnya and the other republics. I mean, I'm guessing here because I'm not that familiar with Soviet history, to be honest, and I may as well make that clear right at the start. But I mean, I do know that Russia has had a lot of trouble with the republics such as Chechnya and Georgia, and I was just wondering to what extent that was influenced by what you're talking about. I imagine quite a bit.
Well, yes, because basically under the Soviet rule in Georgia and Chechnya, Islam was not the dominant thing. It was very frowned upon when all these Russians living in these countries. There weren't no mosques. Women couldn't cover up. They used to wear jeans and T-shirts. Yeah, that's basically when you see things like what happened at the school in Russia that happened, because they said, you've got to leave this country and give us our country back. And when the Russians did that, you see all these Islamists, you see the spread of radicalism, you see Sharia growing in Chechnya and Georgia. That's why. So when the Soviet Union did collapse, that's when basically saw this threat of Islamism growing from these countries.
Oh, okay. But I presume, I mean, could you draw parallels from what happened in Chechnya and Georgia and apply them perhaps to what we're today in Western countries? I mean, I imagine there would have been a time when places like Chechnya and Georgia were relatively stable because they didn't have large Muslim populations. And I was just wondering, somebody somewhere has probably documented the history of how it changed from, or how those countries changed from being relatively stable to being what they are today. And I was just wondering whether there were parallels which we could learn from when we're looking at Western history, in the last 30, 40 years of Western history.
No, it's definitely something we can look at, isn't it? So when you get these leftists in this country who say that they are campaigning against Islamophobia, they're not true socialists.
Well, quite. I mean, the thing I find is that a lot of people will say that Muslims don't pose a threat, and we shouldn't, you know, people in the EDL are racist and Islamophobic for saying anything against Muslims, and yet if there are parallels in history that we can draw on and point to and say, well, look what happened here in very similar circumstances, because the parallel that I frequently draw on, and people who listen to these shows regularly will probably remember, I talk a lot about Lebanon, because Lebanon was a predominantly Christian country until a couple of generations ago. Then they opened their door to Muslims, and of course that completely destabilized the country, led it into a very bloody civil war, and there's still lots of problems today. But of course today it's a predominantly Muslim country rather than Christian, because the Christians have fled, and there are probably lots of other parallels in other countries, maybe very similar parallels in the Soviet republics. It's just I'm not that familiar with Soviet republic history, and I thought if somebody does know, then they could perhaps drop a link in to send us a bit of information. I think that would be helpful, because I'm always looking for analogies to draw on when I'm talking to people about the threat of Islam, because a lot of people just don't believe how bad it can be when your Muslim population goes above a certain point. We're starting to see the very distressing things in a lot of cities in Europe and Scandinavia now as the Muslim population grows, and yet there are still a lot of people out there who refuse to learn from history. And I just thought the more analogies that we can draw on from other societies in the recent past, the more it will help our cause. As I say, I don't know enough about Soviet history to comment in great detail, but I would be interested in finding out a lot more.
Yeah,
definitely look it up.
Yeah, it sounds something very interesting that we can sort of engage with a later day, maybe. I will sort of make a note of things that we discussed that maybe we can put it on a burner for another day, that we can talk about some of the issues that we can't always cover on just one of our shows.
What we have to remember is, like, when you look at the socialists today who say they are fighting against Islamophobia, when socialism is built on Islamophobia, and it has always been Islamophobic, it's like some little neo-Nazi scumbag saying, I am a neo-Nazi, but I am not against Jews.
Yeah, it's the hypocrisy, isn't it, Tom, that gets me most of the time. But I was going to say, guys, just for a moment, I've just managed to get the chat room back, and there was something, there's a letter that I talked about with Kel that we want to read out on the show. So Kel, I'm going to pass it over to you, because I've only just got my chat room back and I just saw that message. So if I pass it back to you, and I think this is so interesting, guys, for our listeners there. So Kel, I'll pass it back to you.
Oh, well, I apologize, Jeff. I don't want to take away from the thread of the conversation that I've been listening to. If you want to carry on with the topic, this can wait for another time.
No, it's all right, Kel. We just say it's a letter that you put in there, and I missed it. I know it just caught up with what was going on in the chat room. And we have got a little bit of time that we can use that. We've got 10 minutes of this quarter, and then we've got half hour left. So, yeah, would you like to go ahead and read that, please? That's from the UKIP leader, wasn't it, Kel?
Yeah, Jeff and I were talking about this a few weeks back, well, last week, actually. And I find this interesting, and this is just a follow-up on what was going on with Muslim Day, Muslim Fun Day at Legoland. Well, apparently there's a UKIP councillor, and he's threatening to sue Twitter users over the Legoland Muslim Fun Day row. There is a UKIP councillor, he's gearing up to sue Twitter users in a row over a Muslim Family Fun Day at Legoland Windsor, which has been targeted by far-right extremists. Mm-hmm. Now, Windsor Councillor Tom Bursnell is threatening to take legal action against users on the social media website who retweeted a story about an attempt by him to stop the popular theme park from hosting a private event for an Islamic organization. The story was published by EDL News, an online publication which monitors the English Defense League. It reported an EDL splinter group named Casuals United was also campaigning against the Muslim Family Fund Day. The headline made a reference to a neo-Nazi link. Bursnell alleged libel and said that 37 people who shared the EDL news story could be contacted by his lawyer. Bursnell, a former Conservative Party member, also wanted the entire EDL news website taken down from the web, not just the story. Bursnell told IB Times UK, "This is a determined attempt by people who want to smear UKIP by association with the far right. They are trying to distort things. I would never have anything to do with EDL or Casuals United. I find them deplorable. I do not mind spending a lot of money on this. EDL News is trying to manipulate and deceive people. What they're saying could not be further from the truth." Bursnell's threat to sue a group of Twitter users echoes the libel action by Lord MacAlpine over unfounded speculations linking him to an historic child abuse crime. EDL News spokesman Gary Hastings told IBT Times UK, "His actions, his issues, should be with the Sunday Express, to whom he gave his opinion of the demonstration. All we have done is point out that the demonstrations outside Legoland is by neo-Nazis. He has the right to reply via our blog, but he so far refused to do so. Legoland's upcoming fun day exclusively for Muslim families has caused controversy because a radical cleric banned from some UK universities is closely involved with the body organizing it, the Muslim Research and Development Foundation. Haytham al-Hadid previously praised 9/11 mastermind Osama bin Laden and called Jews descendants of apes and pigs." Bursnell said his opposition to, said his opposition to the event was rooted in concerns voiced by constituents about the potential for violent clashes between far-right extremists and Muslims at Legoland. In contrast, virulent Islamophobia was on display in content posted online by Casual United supporters. Bursnell said of his constituents, "They are scared of the far right coming to Windsor. I do not think it's good business practice for them at Legoland to be dealing with people like him who said some pretty repugnant views and not views Legoland wants to associate themselves with." A Legoland spokeswoman said the event would go ahead. "We certainly do not discriminate in any way," the spokeswoman said. "Our priority is always that anyone visiting our resort at any time and for any reason behaves properly when they are with us, respecting both our park rules and the needs and enjoyment of others who may be visiting us that day. We have no reason to believe that this will not be the case here." But now, Jeff, I understand that Legoland, that event has actually been cancelled. Is that true?
It's a nice girl. Yeah, it was cancelled. And they wanted to blame it for some people that have been planning to go and to demonstrate against this. And we said right back, going back a little while ago, didn't we, Gil, that all this was doing, this guy that put it together, he was one of these people who spoke, in mosques and saying some really nasty thing. He was one of these rebel rousers, wasn't he? And, I think we all come to the conclusion is that this day for Muslims, it echoes a sort of an apartheid setting, and I think this is the reason why they come under so much pressure. It wasn't so much about people was going to be there, and because I think everybody deplored
that there was a special day. If I was to say we're going to have a Christian day, or Yuka was going to have a Christian day at Legoland, you can imagine the outcry there would be from, you know, especially the Muslims over it, and, you know, that sort of thing. But because it was the Muslims, and they said that even to the last moment that it was going ahead and it didn't matter. But I think that in the end, we must all agree that common sense did prevail. Even so, there had to be put pressure upon Legoland to realise the error of their ways of what they was actually doing, and maybe hindsight of the implications of doing this. And of course, as we know, it had been a victory for the Islamists. The people like who the guy was who was trying to arrange it, it would have been a victory for him, wouldn't it? And for the rest of the Islamists out there. So, yes, it was, common sense did prevail in the end. Tim, your thoughts? Thanks, Kel. Thanks very much for reading that article as well. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
I saw the article that said that the event had been dropped, and that Legoland used the excuse that threats had been made to Legoland, to the site and to the staff, and that's what forced them to drop the booking. Whether or not there really was a threat, of course, is a moment. I think what is more likely is that they just realised that they'd made a big mistake and were looking for a reason to justify cancelling a booking that they really shouldn't have taken in the first place. But yeah, it's common sense has prevailed, as Jeff has said, and quite rightly too. If we had organised a Christian-only fun day or any other religious faith, it would have been quite rightly, there would have been a big fuss made about it. But nobody likes to offend the Muslims. So when they organise something like that, which is totally discriminatory and smacks of apartheid, nobody really says a word, except, of course, the true patriots like people in the EDL and other counter-jihad patriots who quite rightly kicked up a fuss, and in the end Legoland thought about it and decided it would be a good idea to drop the booking, even if it was it meant them losing a bit of money over it. But then I do wonder really whether they would actually lose money. I would have thought they would lose far more money if they had gone ahead with that booking. I mean, I could just imagine the number of people who would have just refused ever to go to Legoland again in disgust at them capitulating to this terrible display of Islamic supremacism.
You were so right there. That's what I was saying about the implications behind the whole thing, that people like ourselves who's got grandchildren and things like that who would like to take their children there, would refuse to take their children to a place that is quite openly, blatantly, classified that Muslim Day, an apartheid day just for Muslims, was allowed. I mean, I can't understand, really, why, if Muslims want to go to Legoland, good luck to them, go with everybody else. Do not go as a bum big group so that everybody else, you can't go because it's a Muslims day only. You won't be allowed in. Now, that is wrong. That is totally wrong. And I think that's what everybody was up in arms about, Tim. Because, you know, if you want to go to Legoland. If you're Muslim, go with the rest of the people. It's just because you don't want to mix with the kuffar, the infidels, well, it's too bad. They don't bloody go.
Well,
that's what it's all about. It's because they don't want them to mix with the kuffar, the infidel. That's what it all comes down to, Tim. We know.
Well, it does.
It
is all quite wrong. I'm just going to drop the link in just to show you where I read this This is from a website called Fahrenheit 211, and I'm just going to drop the link into the chat room. There may be one or two other links, but this one made the very valid point that the best way to respond to something like that is just to boycott those companies that were appease Islam in this way. And I think if we did that more often, companies would think twice before accommodating Islam in this way, because I certainly don't think they should be doing it. So anyway, I've dropped the link in, and it's not so very different from the campaign that Mike Holt runs in Restore Australia, where he urges people to boycott companies that go along with the halal certification scheme, which is basically nothing more than a mafia racket. And in fact, the halal certification scheme is a worldwide mafia-type racket that generates billions of pounds and dollars for Islam every year, a large proportion of which, of course, is going towards funding terrorism. So effectively, through halal, we're funding Muslims to kill the rest of us. So it's quite a well-organised campaign in Australia, and if any of you are interested, I suggest you pop along to the Restore Australia website. I'm sure Kel's got the link. I haven't got it up in front of me, but I believe it's restoreaustralia.org, and there are a lot of good articles on there about what they're doing in Australia with various protest strategies to stop companies or to force companies to think again about halal certification. And I think it's something we should certainly consider doing over here, because it's a worldwide racket, just like the mafia. Oh, Kel has dropped the link in the chat room. Thank you, Kel. And everything we can do to make them reconsider is going to be a very, very worthwhile effort. So, that's all I've got to say on that. I'll pass the mic back to Kel, as you were so good to put that article in the first place, Kel, and just see if you've got anything you'd like to add to that.
I encourage everybody to go to Mike Holt's website, restoreaustralia.org.au. He has Brilliant. A lot of great suggestions in here in how to defeat Islam. And I'm also looking at Tim's article that he put in the chat room from Fahrenheit 211. Yeah, this could actually be a case study. And Naomi put in the chat room, and I'm going to see if I can click scroll back up and get that bad boy, because what she said was just phenomenal, and the chat is moving quite quickly. But essentially what Naomi said was that this could have been a learning experience, in that there was a great opportunity right here to talk about the issue of discrimination, and that those concerned were not racists and were not bigots. They were concerned about the discrimination factor that Islam seems to bring along with it everywhere they go. This Legoland venture, it screamed of discrimination, in that others would not be invited to join in the festivities. And Naomi pointed out rightly that...
I know, is that you, Naomi?
Hello?
Hi. Is that you, Naomi?
Oh, I got muted. Oh, okay.
What happened there? What happened there, Jeff?
I don't know, but I don't know.
Oh, you're
I
not
don't
Jeff.
Know.
Well, that was interesting.
Yeah.
What happened?
Come on. Come on, can't we?
I was trying to screen a call.
No, that's all. Yeah, that's pretty much all I have to say, is that Naomi brought up a really good point, in that we could have ran with this, and instead the media decided to turn it into us being racist and bigots, as opposed to addressing the true issue, in that this venture was a case of discrimination. So there you go, Jeff.
Yeah, thank you, Kel. No, as I say, I'm sorry, I was trying to screen a call and I don't know how I managed to mute someone else, and Kel, I do apologise about that. It's just it didn't work. I've been having problems with the chat room and everything this evening, so I'm sorry if I stopped your flow just at that moment in time. Some very important points that there was discussed, and they're trying to bring up people that wanted to oppose it as being bigoted, and the articles say they're far right. Well, people like ourselves in the English defence say we're not far right, and we're not far wrong, but we're not bloody far. We're not far right, if you know what I mean, guys. And it's it just makes me so bloody angry. Because it's all you say, well categorise, well, tell us, why are we far right? Why is the English Defence League far right? Because we oppose Islamisation of our countries, of our nations. What is so wrong about that? Because we're patriots. Being a patriot, we said this time and time again, is, in the way that political correctness is these days, is you're a racist because you love your country, you're a patriot. And it just leaves a bad taste in people's mouths, doesn't it, guys?
I just read here that Liam Neeson thinks Islam is the answer.
Who's Liam Neeson?
You know, that actor out of Taken.
Oh, that guy.
If you don't reach my daughter, I will kill you. Good luck.
And he thinks Islam is the answer, does he?
What possible
question do you think he might have in mind when he says Islam is the answer?
I'm reading the article here now. It says movie star Liam Neeson has admitted he's afraid to convert to Islam because of how locals in his hometown would take it. The Northern Irish actor thinks Islam is the answer after experiencing the Muslim call to prayer while filming Taken 2 in Istanbul. But the 61-year-old doesn't want to go all the way because people in his hometown may be annoyed with his decision. He added, "For the first week it was hard to take. In the second week I thought it was quite nice. By the third week I was totally captivated by it."
Well, the only way in which I could see Islam could possibly be the answer is if the question is, what is the most evil political totalitarian ideology that has ever existed on the face of the earth? Now, if that's the question, then I totally agree with Liam Neeson with what the answer should be.
Very good. Very well thought out there, Tim. I was going to say, we have got a caller. I'm sorry, Tommy. He's breaking up then, boy, sorry.
I was going to say, if that was a question on Pointless, if all 100 people said Islam, no one's going to get anywhere.
Very good. But I was going to say, we have got a caller. And his name is Roger. So, Roger, welcome to the English Defence League radio show. You're live. Go ahead.
Hey, good night, everyone. Good night, Kel.
Roger.
Hi, Roger.
Hello, Roger.
I've listened in to various shows that have brought up, you know, the facts about Muslims and what we're dealing with today. And, you know, a couple nights ago, I had a light bulb burn out here. It's like, well, I go change the light bulb, check the cord, go to the fuse box. You know, and that kind of led me to come in with this idea of, you know, we need to look back through history really to see, you know, where these buggers come from.
Hmm.
You know, what is the founding faith of the Muslims, where did they come from? Because, you know, if you're trying to fix your light bulb and the breaker's out or the cord's bad, well, you can change 600 light bulbs and still not have your light back on. So what is up with these Muslims?
Abraham, if you want me to sum it up, Roger, what's wrong with these Muslims? What's wrong is they've been trying to conquer the world and have Islam as the dominant religion, and any other faith not being, you know, is not being in touch at all, or has been subservient to their faith. This has been going, you know, Roger, for 1,400 years plus. They
or
haven't
even more.
Anything, yeah, or more, yeah, 1,400 years plus. It's been going on like forever, isn't it? You know, and they don't want that. And they still they want their caliphate. They still call for it. You know, the Muslim Brotherhood was formed in 1928, and that thing is the caliphate. That's all they've ever dreamed about is the caliphate, when the whole world is united with Islam. And so where does it come from? Right back in the Middle East, right back from that little sand jockey right out in the desert.
It goes back to the Christian and Jewish Bible. Back to the days of Abraham. Abraham had a son through his wife's handmaid, Hagar. That was back in Genesis 16. That dude started the Muslim religion. Then finally, Abraham's wife, Sarah, had her son, Isaac. That was Genesis 21, and that was the father of the Jewish nation. And then we, you know, you follow through these thousands of years until Muhammad is alive, and he ran around the countryside there and looked for the Christians and Jews to accept him. He wanted a place of importance or to be in the ministry or something to take it over, but he was definitely deceived, you know, through his goofy psychic wife that Muhammad had, and then he starts going off and going into a cave, meeting a so-called angel that
Gabriel
gives him the Quran, and. Well, who do you think that angel was that he met? Satan himself is what I believe.
Of course it was.
And,
of course it was, Roger. I mean, we've always said that it's just the whole concept of it. No one else see this, the Jibreel meeting of Muhammad, did they? People said, there was witnesses, but they lied. There was no witness to that event ever happening anyway, Roger. But, Roger, I hope you don't mind. It's great to take your call this evening as well. But I got another call that I want to take just before we close the show up. But it's always great to take your call, Roger. A fantastic call
Very
as well.
Very good.
Thank you so much
good night,
for
all.
Your time.
Yep.
Please call back again. It's great to hear you, Roger.
Will do.
Thank you, buddy. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, that's a great question that Roger was posing. As I say, we have got another caller one. So we're coming down to the last segment of our show, last quarter of an hour. And I think this could be Naomi. Naomi, welcome to the English Defence League radio station. You are live. Go ahead.
Hi. Well, finally managed to get actually through. I'm not used to like kind of stuff. It's all weird to me. But it's a pleasure to be here.
Well, it's great to take your call, Naomi. And as I said, we're really looking forward to you being a guest this Sunday. But to have you call in tonight is absolutely fantastic. Have you been enjoying the show so far, what we've been doing this evening?
It's been hilarious. Loved all the jokes, though. They're all being stolen. They'll be used for tomorrow. So it's
there
been
you
brilliant.
Go.
Just to listen in and then talk to people as you're listening, it's brilliant.
Thank you. As I say, I'm glad you enjoy it. You know, tonight, as I say, it is Fridays. We normally have a little bit of a fun, you know, because we're approaching the weekend and that. So we like to do things a little bit different. You know, we have Wahibi calling in. I've probably got it wrong again. From Sponjistan. You've got to rolled up laughing at that. Tim's laughing at the way I pronounce it.
Yeah. It won't be long till Jess say we must stop the policy of tequila. No, Jess, yeah. Tequila.
Yeah, that's it. Grievance mongering tequila artist. That's our Jess.
Thank you, guys. You see what I've got to put up with, Naomi?
It's all banter. It's all good. But just to let you know as well, I'm not sure. I've been telling people in the chat room and things. I don't think it's this Sunday because they're making me work because we're understaffed at the moment. I think it's actually Sunday the 7th. So and I'll be talking about a FGM on that day as well. So it won't be this Sunday. I'm afraid it will be the Sunday after.
Oh, so, Naomi, thank you so very much for letting me know in particular.
I think with everything that was going on today, because I only found out at the end of my shift, we've all been trying to sort of get together and discuss it and things. And
I understood that it was for this Sunday. And, Naomi, thank you so very much for letting me know and that I can book the show appropriately for Jeff in EDL Radio. And, by the way, Naomi, it is great to hear your voice. I loved your speech last weekend.
Yours as well, Cal. I've been wanting to talk to you, I mean, since I heard the show for the first time, so it's an absolute just honour to talk to you. You're doing a really good job.
You too.
Thank you,
Naomi. I'm just absolutely thrilled that you got here. I'm sorry, yeah, we had to go through quite a crash course and with the help of Agador, so we got you here, Naomi. I'm so thrilled.
Brilliant. Thank you,
Cal. Really is. It's great. As I say, Naomi, I'm glad that you formed this week. Just before for the Sunday show. So, ladies and gentlemen, don't worry, because Naomi will be on next Sunday show, and she's got a lot to talk about, haven't you, Naomi? So we really look forward to spending, quite a bit of the show with your views about, especially FGM, which is very, very important to your heart, and I know that, Naomi. So, and we can elaborate on other issues as well relating to Islam and that, yeah?
Lovely. Look forward to it.
We certainly do as well. So, Naomi, thanks for calling in and just giving us a heads up on the situation. So we all look forward to listening to you next Sunday. That's the 7th. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the 7th that Naomi will be our special guest for the Sunday show. So, once again, Naomi, thanks a lot for calling in for this evening. And I'm glad you've enjoyed the show. So we always have a bit of fun on a Friday evening. Sometimes Thursdays and Sundays we get down to some serious issues. But sometimes Friday we like to have a bit of fun. Like, we all like to let our hair down now and again, don't we?
Brilliant. Well, you guys have a great night. And I'll speak to you on Sunday the 7th.
Okay, then, Naomi. And you too. Have a lovely weekend. We'll speak to you soon. Thank you so much for calling in. Thank you. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. I'm really pleased that Naomi called in, and just informs that this weekend is going to be a little bit difficult. So she'll be calling in as guest next Sunday. Do not miss the show. It's going to be absolutely a brilliant show. But yes, I say we are coming down to. We've got probably what, Kel, have we got about 10 minutes left of the show this evening. Or is it less than that now? I can't see my clock. My clock's gone funny on my computer.
Oh, I'm sorry. I've been quite busy here. And that you have 8 minutes and 40 seconds, boss.
Oh, well, thanks, Kel. Just because all of a sudden my clock decided to go funny as well. So I've had all sorts of... do you think it's Allah's revenge on my computer this evening, Kel?
It's certain people that are inviting people on with whom I've yet to walk through on how to get here. That's all.
Yeah, I do apologise for that, Kelly. It completely went over my head, that. So I do apologise if it caused any embarrassment. Yeah, that was. I tell you what, I've got to.
We've had a very busy night tonight. I've just seen something just popped up there. So I'm still getting a little problem with my chat room. It keeps fluctuating and doing all silly things. I was wondering, Kel, have we got time for just a quick roll call just before we end the show this evening?
Oh, yeah, sure. Absolutely.
Thank you so much, Kel.
First of all, we want to thank everybody for being here. And your host is Jeff Mitchell, and his panel is Tim Burton, Tommy English, and I'm Kel Fritzy of the Red Fox Blogger. We want to thank all the callers. We want to thank Sunny for calling in. We want to thank Naomi for calling in. We want to thank Roger for calling in. And, of course, we want to thank Wahabi from Spongistan for calling in. And there are plenty of people jumping around in the chat room there, Jeff. We have Agador, who was instrumental in helping me out with technical issues earlier on the program. We want to thank Anti-Nowhere Racism for Africa. I don't know who that is, but hello, Anti. We, of course, want to thank Bigfoot, British News. That's our army. We want to thank Sarah, Bella, Eric, Kyle, Frank from GA. We have numerous guests in here. Holder Awakens, Moving Forward, Reactionaries, and boy, oh boy, it was pretty busy there tonight, Jeff. So there you go.
It certainly was, Kel. I've got to thank everybody for participating and being a part of the show this evening. Really appreciated to see the support that we get in the chat room. There's so many things that grabs me attention. Tonight, as I say, I've got to apologise again because I lost the chat room for a while and it has been a bit fluctuating. So I've missed a couple of messages. Kel, I missed a couple of messages from yourself. I think there's someone here that shouldn't be here, and he's upsetting a few of my friends. So
you've not been missing one of Kel's messages, have you, Jeff? I mean, that's unheard
of.
No,
it's just someone who put it this way. We don't want him here. So, and I've just done the order of the boot. can't do
oh,
with
well,
that.
Oh well, no, and I'm not wanted.
Can do that trash army says. And if army said that we got a wrong one here, take my word from it, ladies and gentlemen, we got a wrong one in our chat room, and he will be disposed of as soon as we possibly can. So thank you very much, army, for giving me a big heads up on the trash as it's been removed. So and Troll Patrol, some Roger said Troll Patrol, I like that. it's good that, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Should be the name of a group, shouldn't it? The name of a pop group. Troll Patrol.
Yeah. it sounds quite good, doesn't it? But I've got to thank Roger for calling in.
Yes, I was just going to say, we didn't mention Roger, did we? But thanks for
calling
in. Yeah,
Roger, thank
good
you so much. And what you're talking about Islam and where does all this problem come from? And as we all know, it's that little sand jockey. He's having hallucinations, wasn't he, Tim? It's quite...
One thing other, Jeff, is that I have been frantically waving at you, not only in the chat room, but on your Skype, is that Sunny has been muted, like, for over 30 minutes.
Oh, my God. What's going on here? Oh, Sunny. Oh, my apologies. Okay, we should have just unmuted him. If you could have done, Sonny, sorry about that, buddy. You're unmuted. I think possibly there was a bit of feedback, and it wasn't done intentionally, as you know. But welcome back. We've got about 5 minutes left of the show. So you told some great jokes, by the way, Sonny, earlier. Thank you.
As I say, mate, that's brilliant. On Sunday, I've got a couple of things I'll bring up. But as I say, quickly before the show's over, I've actually been looking into something while I've been on the mute there. For anyone listening, me and Kel had a conversation about Islam now taking over the schools in Britain and other countries. there's actually a page at the minute on Facebook called British Parents Opposing Islamic Indoctrination of Britain. And basically that's about schools that teach religious education. By law, the government have said that you have a right to pull your kids out of any class that you feel that isn't necessary. So when these schools are trying to force your kids into learning Islam and going into mosques and using prayer mats, by law you have the right to say no, just for the people that don't know out there.
Sammy, I've got to thank you so much for what you and Kel have found out there. And maybe Sunny, maybe you could maybe come back on the show and we can elaborate a little bit more. So we want to put it out there for all the parents of young kiddies that don't want their children to have this Islamic indoctrination in their schools. So I've got to thank you, Sunny, for you and Kel for that out, and hope you come back Sunday and we can maybe push it out a little bit further when we come back Sunday. And I'm sorry about the muting, buddy. Really apologise about that. It's just I've had all kinds of issues this evening. But
it's the feedback. My internet connection's been a bit dodgy. I swear I've had like a Muslim mouse trying to get at the wires here, like trying to cut me off right here. But a few rat pellets to get rid of that scum.
Exactly.
Well, sorry, Fusely, if you've got rats, but apparently I have a policeman under my bed recording this conversation.
Sorry,
you certainly have, Tommy. And guys, I've got to let you know, I've just had that lady whispering in my ear. I've got about just under 90 seconds, probably about 65 seconds now. So I'd like to thank everybody that's associated with the show this evening, Roger. And I just had that lady sound. I've got 60 seconds. Everybody in the chat room, all our listeners out there, wherever you might be, thank you so much for tuning in to the English Defence League radio station. And for myself, from Kel, from Tim, from Tommy, from Sunny, from everybody associated with what we do. Good night, take care, stay safe, God bless you all. We're not forgetting from us all, no surrender.
No surrender.
And with that,
no surrender.
We are going underground with probably about 20 seconds left. So good night, guys. Thank you, Sam. Good night, Phil. Good night, Steve. Good night, Sam.
Good night,
Phil.
Good night,
Sam.
Good night,
I'm so happy, I can't see the fine things happening here today. A show of strength with your boys brigade. And I'm so happy and you're so fine. You want more money, of course, than the mine. If I need you, let's ask for more from his friends. And the public gets what the public wants. But I want nothing, I have to dust. I'm going underground, going underground. What is the prospect for you? Pleasure as I hate me, I've been up for any of my hate. People might need some tension to relax me. I'm too busy dodging between the facts. You see, here's what you get. You made your bed, you better lie in it. You choose your lead and the place you're trapped. And the lies will shut down and their promises come. You'll be killing machines with paper rockets and guns. And the public wants what the public gets. But I don't give up. Tomorrow, la 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 la.
Well, there you go. As I say, we once again, we are into our archives. Tim can't stay with us tonight. He's got things he has to do. But I've got to thank him once again for all his contribution for the show this evening. Kel, thank you so much. It's been a little bit of a nightmare tonight, especially my end with chat rooms. You know the horrible circle we keep going around? I had that. The death circle, I call it myself. So I had that going on quite a bit of the evening. But never mind. It's just technical problems. But thank you, Kel, for all what you've done tonight. The slides was absolutely fantastic, by the way. Kel? I think Kel's still, she's muted. But also,
I'm here. I'm actually speaking with Sunny on Skype right now.
Oh, okay. That's fantastic.
Oh, there you go. But hang on just one quick sec.
I've got to thank you, Sue, as well. I know you've you was listening to the show this evening. And there's, of course, I'm talking about Sue from New Mexico. She's recovering. She's been a bit poorly, this lady. And it's always great to see you Sue, in the studio. And you know what? Ladies and gentlemen, Sue has just raised her hand. Sue, it's so good to see you once again in the studio. You know, I always feel comfortable when I see your call there. So how are you, Sue? How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing good. Every day a little bit better. I just wanted to tell you, your Friday Comedy Central, I think it is absolutely brilliant and wonderful. And there's so much, you know, bad, and it brings you down. And I think the levity and to be able to laugh at some of these things can rejuvenate the spirit. And I just want to thank you for that and tell all
Sue,
of you how I appreciate it.
It's our pleasure, Sue. You know, as we say, there is no humor in Islam. Well, guess what? Myself, Kel, Tim, Tommy, Sunny, we all put the humor back into it, whether they like it or not. Whether they're Ayatollah say that there is no humor in Islam, well, we don't care what he says because we'll add it ourselves, won't we, Sue?
Yes, exactly. And it is just wonderful. It just makes me ready to start a brand new week. And I love it.
And so, you know what they say, it always makes you feel better to laugh. Sometimes I've laughed so much that I hurt my ribs. You know, Tommy or Tim sometimes says something, and it's the humour that they've got that really tickles you. And it hurts that you know it's like when you laugh so much that your ribs hurt. And
yes.
And Kel, she's got that ability as well, wasn't she?
Yeah, Kel is just absolutely great. And, you know, all of this, I am really glad that the one
I love you,
you
too.
Know,
it's so
you,
great
Kel.
To hear your voice. And yeah, I was just, I had my Skype open because I was desperate to send our errant little Jeff here messages to let him know what was going on behind the scenes. And I had to turn on my Skype. And what happens when I do that? All of a sudden, 14 million people want to Skype me.
That goes the way, Kel.
but that's okay.
But. Yes, it is, yeah. But it's not that. And now I know, Kel, you know, I mean, I leave mine up because I'm not quite as popular as yourself. I leave it on most of the time because I don't get inundated as much as yourself and other people do. I don't know, people leave me alone a little bit, Kel. On the Skype, anyway. I don't get those the problems as such. But it's so good to hear your voice this evening, Sue. And as you say, every day you get a little bit better, and you're starting to feel better in yourself. You're eating okay and all that, Sue, now?
Oh, yes. I'm doing fine. It's just a matter of taking it day by day, but I'm fine.
Oh, that's fantastic. Because, you know, Sue, when you're not around, we do miss you. When you was away, we was all worried and concerned, and you was in our thoughts and prayers, and to see when you come back, everybody was like putting a light on in our hearts and souls when we saw you back, sitting in the studio there with the call. Yes, it's Sue's back, didn't you, Kel? You was like that, wasn't you? We were so happy, wasn't we?
Oh, yeah, that's why I always put in the studio when I see Sue's phone number. I don't say, oh, Sue from New Mexico. I always just tag Sweet Sue.
Sweet Sue. Oh, because, I mean, it's true. We become so, you know, Sue, I've never met you, you've never met me, but it's as though, you know, it's like when I talk to Kel. Me and Kel's never met each other personally. But I feel like she's one of my closest friends, and like yourself, Sue, you know, you take people on board with what we do and what you say, and you can't help it. It's a great ability to have internet and to be able to do radio shows and people like yourself, Sue, that I might have, you know, we might not have ever met, and the same with Kel. If it wasn't for the internet, if it wasn't for Blog Talk Radio, you know, we'd be still doing our own thing, but in a different circle, something like that. But this has been amazing, you know, since I've been doing the radio shows, and I've met some great people, people like yourself, many, many people. And the same with you, Kel, and yourself, so you know, we meet some fantastic... We meet some arseholes along the way, because... Don't be coward. We meet a lot of them.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And I have another joke. What do you call a moderate Muslim?
Cool, what's that, Kel?
What do you call a moderate Muslim?
Yeah, what would you call a moderate Muslim? Is there one?
Someone who's running low on the ammo.
I've never heard that one before. Good one. Nice one, Kel. Sue, would you... I mean, because there's been a few jokes flying this evening, and would you like to... Have you got a joke that you might want to share with us and the listeners?
Oh, I wish I could, but no, I'm not quite as clever as all of you guys. I just sit back and laugh.
Oh, Jeff.
Oh, well, we do... You know, we do like to have fun, and this is what you said, Kel. So, you know, the humour that we had, especially on Friday night. Sometimes it slips in on a Thursday. Kel or myself or Tim might say something, and it kicks us all off, doesn't it? You've heard what we're like once we get going, don't we? But as I say tonight, especially what's great is when we get. And what's his name? Wahibi. And Tim always laughs when I call
Wahabi.
Him Wahibi. Wahabi. See, I'm still getting it wrong, Sue.
Oh, that just kills me when you do that. I have laughed and laughed and laughed. It was just like, you know, whoever's doing him, I don't know who's doing him, but it is priceless. And
it certainly is. Did you hear? What was the person, the one from Middle Earth that called in as well, Kel? What's his name? The one out of the Lord of the Rings, the little monster thing. What's his name, Kel?
The Borg?
He called in on the show. Sorry?
Oh, Wahhabi's cousin.
Wahabi's cousin.
Yeah, that's Schmeagol.
Schmeagol. Schmeagol. Did you hear him? Schmeagol from Middle Earth calling.
Oh, yeah. It was funny.
Absolutely classic. That's why I said it's amazing who we get calling on the show from different parts of the world. But we love it, don't we, Kel? We do.
Oh, yeah.
And especially tonight, I mean, Kel, and Martin Hyde, what can I say about Martin? He sat there and he worked out, he put some great slides together. And the one, I mean, the one about the spider, have you seen the slide suit? The one with the spider. Everybody knows I've got this phobia about spiders down. Everybody ribs me about it, you know. But the one that got me more than anything, that really had me laughing, was the one with Tim. And there was that guy on the piano, wasn't it? Naked on the piano, old Kel. That was funny. It was funny. But there were some great slides, didn't there? And that
Itsy
was,
bitsy spider.
Exactly. But, no, it's really great to see, as say, people like Martin Hivers contribute and put in the slides. And the thought, because the letter that, or the email that Kel read out was absolutely superb, fantastic. So once again, I'm going to give a big wave and a thank you to Martin, because we all had a chuckle about that. When we talked about this yesterday, didn't we, Kel? Kel said to me, do you want to see the slides for Friday? I said, yes, please, Kel. And then she said, I've got a bit of a letter. I want to read a little bit. And when she read a little bit, and I went, oh, my goodness me. We couldn't wait for tonight, could we, Kel?
Oh, God. Is there a way, Kel, you can tweet me those slides?
What I'll do
is that I will download them for you, Sue, and I will put them on your tweet page for you, hon. Absolutely.
Oh, thank you so much.
Oh, Sue, you will love them. You will love them. Wouldn't you, Kel?
Oh, gosh, yeah. They're hilarious. And, Sue, you make sure you're sitting down. Because you're going to fall out of your chair laughing.
I will.
Yeah, but no, it's been, apart from a few technical problems of what we've had tonight, which we always get them, you know. Sometimes you think if you go without a show without technical problems, something's wrong.
Well, there were quite a few problems, yeah, tonight, yeah, technical and otherwise. So, yeah, it was quite an interesting show for me to produce tonight. Let's just put it that way, Jeff.
Yes, I would agree with you. But anyway, what I'm going to do is, because Kel, I was going to say, Kel, you've got a show this evening. Would you like to tell with the listeners and maybe Sue exactly what the theme of the show is going to be about this evening?
Well, I have. My theme tonight is going to be "Where is the outrage?" And this, I'm centering it around a clip by Neil Bortz, when he's an American radio host who took a call from a Muslim caller, and it's a 7-minute long clip. But I'm going to play it in its entirety, and I'm also going to recite a poem about "Where is the Muslim outrage?" And it's "Where is the Muslim outrage?" When Christians are slaughtered in the streets, in their churches, burned alive, when Jews, Hindus, Sikhs, Buddhists, and others are persecuted, all we hear are crickets from the Muslims. So that's the premise of my show tonight. And
it
that's at 7
like
p.m. Eastern Standard Time, midnight Greenwich Mean Time today.
Thank you, Kel. And ladies and gentlemen, and I know tonight, and there's a lot of anger within Kel, because there is no outrage from these people with what's going on. And I think you're going to have an extraordinary show this evening, Kel. I just have a feeling it's going to be one of those priceless shows this evening. So please stay tuned to Kel's show a little bit later on this evening, because I think you're going to pull the stops out tonight a little bit, aren't you, Kel? Going to get your magic sticker. You're going to pull the stops out, aren't you?
Well, my truncheon? Oh, yeah,
yeah,
I have it out. And can I do another shameless plug? And that's for on behalf of Tim and myself, who is my co-host on Monday afternoons at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Why not?
We're going to be discussing the Hofted group. And this is a group of Islamic terrorist organizations. It started out with 9 young Muslim men in the Netherlands, and the name Hostev was originally the code name for the Dutch General Intelligence and Security Service investigating this group. And it's it turns out that it's a lot more nefarious than people think. So that's going to be the Monday afternoon topic on the Red Fox Blogger with Tim Burton and myself at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
It sounds like you've got a couple of great shows, one coming up tonight and Monday. So there you go, guys. As I say, Blog Talk Radio is the place to be because you hear people like Kel and Tim and myself and other great people like you've got Holger Wakens with his great show, and he's a great blogger. The Radio Jihad Network with, of course, our own Viso. Esposito. I always get it right. Have I got that right?
Esposito.
There you go. Mamma mia, no Sharia. The radio. The network.
And you know, you've got to get that right, Jeff, because Vito is mine and Tim's boss, because we're part of the Radio Jihad Network on Tuesdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
He's never told me off about it, though, Kel. He's my mate.
Yeah, we're the freedom-loving infidels on the Radio Jihad Network at 6 p.m. Tuesdays, 11 p.m.
Yes,
Greenwich Mean Time. And we have a guest. We have author Paul Sutliff joining us, and he's going to talk about the Muslim Student Associations. He wrote a book about the MSA and American colleges and universities, and so that should be a fascinating discussion.
Absolutely fantastic. What can I say? Ladies and gentlemen, and I all say, and you might think, I'm saying like a record start, but you know, you listen to the normal, the media, what's put out, and it's so, you know, politically correct that when we do shows, people like Kel, people like Tim, and people like Vito and Al and Holger, we speak the way it is. And this is why the internet radio is the best thing I think there's ever been, terrestrial TV, whatever. It's the best thing that's ever. And if you want to listen to good, honest people speak about the issues that concern you, your families, this is the place to be, Blog Talk Radio, with great hosts like Kel and Tim. And I won't say sing my own tunes, but there's other great people out there who are doing all the same works as what we do. We're in this fight together, and we stand shoulder to shoulder. Well, some of us do. Some of us stand shoulder to kneecap. Let's rest your mind. But that is the case. And that's why I like to sing the praises of all the radio hosts that do. You know, everybody does this, and it's with all volunteers of what we do, haven't we, Kel? This is voluntary work that is so, so important. What we do, so, and we continue to strive and to do the good works that we're put on this earth to do. So, but Kel, once again, I got to thank you tonight, and I know there was a few things that could have been put right a bit sooner, but there was certain issues that was beyond control. But apart from that, I think it was a great show this evening with great people. It was great to hear Roger, and it was great to hear Naomi. It called in for the last quarter of the show to inform us, you know, that this week it's a little bit it's a bit difficult. So next week we will have Naomi as a guest. So, and I know we look forward to that.
Yes, and that will be Sunday, March 9th, not Friday, March 7th. It will be Sunday, March 9th. Yeah.
Thank you.
There you go.
Once again, that's what a great producer you are. You get it spot on. That's, Kel, thank you so much. And Sue, oh, it's a blessing to hear you call in. And I'm glad that you enjoyed the show tonight. And it makes you giggle and laugh. And that's what it's all about. It's not about just the serious things, but we do like to add a bit of humour with what we do as well. So great to have you here, Sue.
Oh, yes.
So, Kel, go ahead, Sue, sorry.
Oh, no, I just was saying it was absolutely wonderful. I am in just great spirits right now, and it's the best medicine in the world, I think. So thank you.
It's a pleasure. It's a great pleasure, Sue. And as I say, we'll be back Sunday, but we'll say later on if you've got Kel's great show as well, Sue. So there you go. You're going to be busy, lady.
Sue, I love it that before we go to air we have our little pep talks. And ladies and gentlemen, I have to say, this lady behind the scenes, the work she does for all the Blog Talk Radio programs is instrumental. Yes. And when I see Sue in the studio before we go to air, it's like, Sue, what am I doing? You'll be okay.
It's true. You know, Kel, that's what I said. When I see that see Sue in the studio, you know everything's all right. Everything's good, isn't it? You get that same feeling.
Yep.
So, Sue,
yep.
Thank you so much for being there. We really do appreciate you. God bless you.
Oh, well, God bless you, and I appreciate all of you, too.
Oh, thanks,
okay,
Sue.
Bless you. And, Kel, I was going to say, because I want you to have a little bit of time for your special cup of tea you're going to have after the show. Could you put your best dress on, that black, sleeky dress and the Sahara?
And my stilettos.
And, oh, my goodness me, so she's putting the stilettos on. She's putting the stilettos. What can I say? Oh, my God. Any of our listeners, I'd be probably drooling now, Kel. You do realise that.
Oh, no.
But I do have a wonderful outro for us, Jeff. And I picked this song especially for Sue.
Oh, absolutely fantastic, Kel. You always choose wonderful tunes to finish the shows off. And once again, I'm looking forward to see what you've picked tonight, Kel. So thank you so much. And, Kel, hopefully I might be around for the first half an hour of the show this evening.
Great.
But
yay.
I've got to go in town again early in the morning, so I can't stay too long. But I look forward to you always catching me in the archives. That's the brilliant thing about it as well, isn't it? Our archives as well. So fantastic. Anyway, Kel, I'll leave it for you to play our exit tune for this evening, and I'd like to thank everybody who's tuned into the show this evening. Thank you so much for all your support and that. And we'll be back, the English Defence League radio station will be back this Sunday, but if you want more of what you've heard this evening, you've got a show in the very near future, in just over an hour and 5 minutes, hour and 6 minutes. You can listen to Kel with her great show. So with that, I'll pass it over to you, Kel. Thank you so much. Good night, Sue. God bless you. And we'll see you Sunday.
Love you all.
Love you,
Sue and Jeff. Ladies and gentlemen, no surrender ever. And this song is for Sue. Good night, Jeff. Good night, Sue.
Good night.
Bye.
Good night.
No
surrender.
Ever. Absolutely. Crashing onto the shore. And just to let you know, Sue, I just tweeted you all four of those pictures, honey.
Oh, bless you. And that song was so awesome. Thank you.
You bet. That's from Royalwood. And that is Do You Recall? And he's a Canadian artist. There you go. International flavor tonight. No, we got England, we got Canada, we got America.
That's what we like. That's what we like, Kel, don't we?
That's right.
Yeah. Great show once again. Right, this is the last part of the show. So this is the English Defence League radio station. We're signing off for the night for myself, Kel, and of course, not forgetting our dear Dizru, who's sitting there. And it's great to hear your voice this evening. And I'm glad you enjoyed the show and that we made you laugh tonight. So.
Oh, you did.
Good night.
Good night.
So,
good night,
Kel,
Sue. I'll talk to you later.
Have a great show later on,
absolutely.
Darling, okay? Good night,
okay.
Guys. Good night.